You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest combine news. I don't need to do the combine anymore.
I was going
to
say,
forget that. But you can, if you want to go check out the combine if you missed it, why not? For the latest news, period. Photos, videos, and more from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. My great pleasure to join to bring to you one of the greats from CBS Sports, NFL Insider, and good personal friend of the Angry Lobster, the one and only Jason Lockenfora. J-Lox, what's going on, bro?
What's going on, guys?
J-Lox, one of the things we wanted to start with you on today is the feeling that as we've come out of the combine, the idea about these quarterbacks, you know, three of them going in the top five seems to be dissipating, and they seem to be being pushed down a little bit as people seem to be of the opinion that there is no true franchise quarterback or savior in this draft. What's your take on the quarterbacks as we move here to the next 2 months towards the draft?
You know, I don't know how pushed down they're going to be. I still think three of them go pretty darn high within the first, I don't know, 6 to 8 picks without having the draft board in front of me. And then I think there's another 3 to 4 that are fighting somewhere for, you know, back end of the first round, top of the second round. So I think the need and the lack of free agent options will continue to make these guys fairly attractive. I mean, I think Bortles could go one. If St. Louis trades out at two, I think if that trade's not for Clowney, it very well could be for Manziel. Either way, I could see the Raiders taking a Manziel. I don't think Bridgewater slips all that far. You know, there'll still be other teams like a Jacksonville that'll have a need as well that I think will look to quarterback high this time if one of those three are there. So, I still think those three go okay. And then, you know, we'll see where the Garoppolos and the Cars and some of these other kids start to fall into play.
Jason, what do you think, though, has changed? Because there was a lot of discussion about the quarterback position being this would be the year that if you had to have one and you had one of those upper-tier picks and those things usually go together, this would be a good year to go after those guys. It just seems that in most recent days and from the combine where you only had Blake Bortles throw, that some of that opinion has changed and people are souring on these quarterbacks.
Well, I don't know. You know, you don't know how much of this is real and how much of this is
right,
perception
right.
pick, you know. I think the other thing, too, is when people were talking about it being a bumper crop, that was before Murray and the kid from LSU got hurt, right? And I still think they're going to go second day, but I think if they're not hurt, they probably go first day. And that's before the kid from Oregon stays at school and a couple other people stay at school. So I think that has something to do with it. I mean, you went from looking at, you know, I don't know, 6, 7 to 8 who were legitimate, you know, maybe first round, first top 25 guys, to now having these three that sort of stand out a little bit from the bunch, and then another cluster of, you know, three or four who probably have a shot at the first round, and then another cluster of three or four like the Murrays and the Metalburgers and some of those kids who are probably more like twos or threes.
We're hearing a lot of talk about this, a lot of momentum for the playoff expansion. What are you hearing about that?
Yeah, that's been, I mean, this has been something of a fait accompli for a while, I believe. For Goodell to talk about it the way he has over the last few months, particularly at the State of the League address at the Super Bowl, if you know Goodell at all, if you follow how he speaks, I think we're beyond the point of him taking the temperature of the room. I think this is more of a done deal. It's just a matter of them getting the 2/3 of the votes to actually take place, to actually have that vote at the league meeting at the end of March. And I don't anticipate there being a problem for them getting those votes.
Jason, as we also look at the Browns and going forward from all that's changed here, your thoughts on how you see things being put together? Because with the draft, that quarterback piece still is a big question mark, but now DeQuell Jackson has been released, so inside linebacker, which we thought was a pretty important need, or linebacker was a need, becomes even more important. How do you see the Browns' priorities as you assess it?
I mean, they obviously have some holes they want to fill. I mean, they they've got some things that they could address on the offensive line. They'd love to get another receiver. Quarterback, obviously, is a big concern. And yeah, on defense, I think linebacker now rises to the fore. You know, whether they get this kid Mosley or not down the road, they could trade down and probably still address some of the things they want to address. I wouldn't mind them taking Sammy Watkins high and coming back on a quarterback sometime later. I don't know if they would think that's too high for him. A lot of times, if you look at rookie general managers, it seems rare that they dive in on a quarterback this high, especially when all of them have some warts. I mean, you saw a guy like Dave Caldwell go very conservative in Jacksonville last year. We saw the Jets go pretty conservative in what they did with Idzik, and they kind of waited to get Geno Smith a little bit down the line. It just seems that that's kind of been, you know, Steve Keim in Arizona, he went and got a veteran quarterback last year. He didn't run out to draft one of these kids, you know, high in the first round or anything like that. I don't know that they, with the regime change and everything, I could very well see them doing things a little bit differently than maybe had they if the old regime stayed. And I'm not so sure they do take a quarterback high.
If you're the Browns and you don't love one of those quarterbacks, do you think, and how, what do you think the market is going to be for this in general? Because you talked about at the number two spot with St. Louis. Do you think there's going to be a lot of activity and a lot of opportunity to trade back in this draft for teams that want to get up and get into that top 10 range to get either one of the offensive tackles like a Greg Robinson or a Jake Matthews, something like that? Do you think there's going to be a lot of movement at the top of this draft? And if you're the Browns, is that something you'd really be open to if you don't want one of the quarterbacks?
I think there'll be potential, Nate. I don't know that it'll be overwhelming potential, but I do think that depending on how things start to happen up high, if there's that one of those three quarterbacks still out there, if there's one offensive tackle, Greg Robinson, I think will be far and away best of breed. If somebody wants to dive in to get him, if he's still there, if somebody wants to dive in to get Sammy Watkins, I mean, even Clowney. I think the way it sets up is there's enough kids who seem to have distanced themselves from the pack at certain positions of need that I do think the opportunity will be there. And I wonder if there's another team, maybe a Miami or someone like that, who targets them and says, you know what, let's try to move up early and do an RG3 kind of thing and get our way up there early so we know we can get a Greg Robinson. Or if not Robinson, then Tyler Lewan, the tackle from Michigan, if Robinson goes higher, to have themselves positioned to get themselves there. I do think there'll be the potential for me and Atlanta for Clowney, too. I don't rule them
right out
jumping up. Now, they might want to jump up a little higher than Cleveland. They might want to go all the way
to two.
To St. Louis, yeah,
sure.
And lock that in. And we know St. Louis has already shown in the past they'll make a move
they will
like
do
that
it
early. Yeah, they've done it.
They've done it, and they are set up pretty darn well as a result of doing it in the past. Joined now by Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider. And Jay Locks, what have you been hearing at the Combine? Any talk? Because obviously one of the big things about the Browns is, yes, they have all that money, and yes, they have all those draft picks, but two of the consensus top six, or let's say top eight players on this roster, Alex Mack, TJ Ward, both free agents. Neither has been signed. We have the tag deadline coming. We have the free agency deadline coming. Have you heard any movement at all on either of those fronts?
Not much. I mean, I think under the old regime, Ward was a slam dunk to get tagged. I'm not positive of that now. I think that's a little more nebulous. I mean, Alex Mack, they're going to have to pay big, big, big time to keep him, I think. I mean, he's a California guy. There's going to be some teams that look at him as the best of breed offensive lineman in this free agent class far and away. If the Browns come strong enough financially, money usually talks, but I think they're going to have to really come strong and show that. And look, they've spent a lot of money in the past to both acquire people and to get people to leave their building. So you would think the commitment to spending is still there. There is no cap issues whatsoever. I mean, they've rolled over more money than they could possibly hope to spend. Now we'll see how they start moving forward. The thing is, as we know, you're going to have to overspend to get people to Cleveland right now. I mean, you don't have a core. I like Brian Hoyer a lot, but the presence of Brian Hoyer is not going to get people to be dying to play for the Cleveland Browns. And you've struggled for a long time, and you've just changed coaches and regimes again. So, they're going to have to put their checkbooks out front and lure people there that way as they continue to rebuild this thing. And I don't think they'll go hog wild either. I think Ray Farmer wants to do this through the draft. He wants to do it for the long term. Keeping their own and adding a few, well organized, well thought out, well conceived.
Nope, you're still.
Yeah,
Jason's still there?
Yeah, somebody called me on my other line, but.
Oh, okay.
You've got my undivided attention. Don't worry.
Jason, I want to ask you this. From the combine, there were a lot of people who gave high marks to Mike Pettine especially, but also Ray Farmer. But Mike, for the reaction after the story broke about the Browns talking with the 49ers about a potential for trading for Jim Harbaugh to be their coach, and the way Pettine was so direct in handling it and basically taking it head on and sounding like a guy who is very comfortable in his own skin and very confident that he is the right guy to be the coach of this team. I think he earned a lot of respect nationally. Was that the case with you, and what were some of your thoughts as far as how he handled that and the way the Browns were perceived through that?
Yeah, I thought he did a great job of it, without a doubt. It's an awkward situation. It was kind of a little bit tricky in that you've got different owners saying different things, and the truth kind of probably lying right in the middle. So, yeah, I thought he handled it well. I did. We'll just have to see moving forward how everyone interacts on this staff and sort of where it goes from here. But, yeah, it was awkward timing for all of that, and I thought they did a good job kind of positioning themselves.
Yeah, they certainly handled that well. San Francisco might have another whole host of issues. As we talked about as it relates to the Browns and this draft, it's interesting because with the way that it's set up, free agency and the draft, they may tip their hand in some ways about what they're going to do, because if a guy like Matt Schaub is going to be brought in to compete with Brian Hoyer, you're going to have to do that before the draft, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, they're going to cut Schaub. It's just a matter of when they go ahead and do it. They're not going to want to carry that salary into cap compliance. It just doesn't make any sense to do that. Now, they may not be as altruistic as the Browns were with DeQuell and cut him this early. But, yeah, he's going to be out there. He certainly may make some sense for a Kyle Shanahan offense. You would think it would. Sure. I don't think the money for Schaub will be great. I think that's certainly somewhere where a lot of people in the league have Schaub pegged to go. And if you do that, yeah, it's a bit of a tell that, we're probably not drafting a quarterback. But then again, Hoyer's making, what, $1 million? And I'm guessing, let's just say you get Schaub for $3.5 million. That committing $4.5 million to quarterbacks, and I don't think with Hoyer there's really any guarantees. So if he doesn't get healthy, if for whatever reason you want to trade him or move him down the line, it still doesn't preclude you from taking a quarterback up high. But I'm sure a lot of people would interpret that as a signal, yes.
And the other thing is, Jason, as you look at the combine itself, different stories have kind of emerged as who might have helped or hurt himself there. Is there any single guy that you feel did the best to inflate his stock from that? I mean, is there one?
Brandon Cooks.
Okay.
My man.
He's voting for Cooks. I'm voting for Jadeveon Clowney. Who are you voting for?
One guy who most improved his stock.
Just or did the thing, verified what we knew about him, whatever.
Yeah, you know what? I think Clowney, I mean, you could talk about the other Joes if you want. A man of that size running that speed, I think, shuts a lot of people up. You can't be not in shape and run something like that. That's beyond freakish. And the fact that he's going back now to API to keep training, he's not going to hang out. He's going to Lattimore, who we know what he's coming back from, his former teammate at South Carolina. He's going back to API in Florida to train with him, to try to be even, better at his pro day. I think the people who continue to pick away at him, I think either have an agenda of one sort or another. But his athleticism and his ability, I believe, speaks for itself.
How much fun is it for you at this time of year to try to sift through all the BS that teams are trying to feed to disguise their draft stuff?
I wouldn't call it fun, Aggie Lobster. No, it is what it is. And honestly, right now for me, my focus is so much more on franchise tags and who's getting tagged by next Monday, guys still to get cut. We've got deals that are getting done, extensions to get done. I really don't hone in on the draft until after the league meetings and after that second wave of free agency, and then come April. Now, some teams have already had their pro days. A lot of them are still to come. Guys are making their individual visits. That's when I really kind of start to focus on the draft.
Great.
Speaking of it real quick, because potentially with Mike Pettine being here, Jarius Byrd would be someone I'm sure would be interesting to this staff. Is it a done deal in your mind that he either gets signed or franchised by the Bills, or is there a chance he hits the open market?
I think there's a chance he hits open market. The Bills like to talk tough about how much they're spending. Like, if you go and read, like, what people write about them and sort of what they kind of covertly leak, and it's always like, oh, we're so ready to spend for this guy, and, man, we really want to keep him, and he's not leaving our building, and then they leave. So when they put their money where their mouth is, I'll believe it. When they franchise him for a second straight time after all the drama last year and pay him $9 million or whatever for 1 year and go through this same song and dance again, I'll believe it when I see it. You could color me less than convinced right now.
Interesting.
All right, Jason, thank you so much.
Thanks, brother.
You got appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
By the way, good luck. I saw your tweet. Good luck the next couple of days.
Yeah, no, we'll be all right.
You'll hold it down. I have faith in you.
I'll hold it. We've done this. I've been down this road before.
Jason Lockhart for NFL Insider.
Friday. Oh, yeah.
NFL Insider for CBS Sports, cbssports.com. Always some great insights from him. And we will have Mary Kay Cabot with us at the bottom of the hour. We had talked about having her on a little bit earlier, but she will still join us. In the meantime, we've got much more to cover on this Football Thursday edition. He is Nathan Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci. This is ESPN 850 WKNR.